We are in week 7 of Believe, and I hope you've been enjoying this series and engaging with it in the small groups, Sunday school classes, and so forth. And today we are focusing in on the idea of humanity, and I've entitled it, We're Only Human. How often have we used that excuse when perhaps we've messed up or sinned in some way? I also want to encourage you, if you noticed in your bulletin, there is a half-page insert entitled Taking Up Lent. This is a six-week challenge. The season of Lent begins on Wednesday this week, is Ash Wednesday. The 6 weeks before Easter is the season of Lent. And many times you're encouraged to give something up for Lent. But instead, we're challenging you to take something up for Lent. And so each week, there'll be a challenge of something to do to take up during that week. And this week, you can see the focus is on repentance. And there are some instructions there, some guidelines for you as well. We're trying to tie these in with the Belief series, so they will vary from week to week. But take the challenge to take up this activity each week here in the season of Lent, and I think you'll find a more enhanced season of spiritual growth for you. Today, though, we want to focus in on humanity. And so far in this series, we've asked, who is the one true God? Does he care about me? How can I come into relationship with God? How can I know his will for my life? And other questions that were very much dealing with our relationship with God. But now we're in the second part of this Believe series where we're focusing on questions about our relationships with others. How does God accomplish his plan? The church, we talked about that last week. And today we're wrestling with this question of how does God see people? How does God see people? Before we read our text today, I want to take us back to the very beginning of humanity, back to the Garden of Eden. I think we can all agree that things started out rather well back in the garden. It was Adam and Eve had it all. Life was great for them. It couldn't get any better. But they came to believe that life could get better than it already was. And see, human nature tells us that we always want something more. We're always looking for something more. And that's what happened in the garden. We remember the story, of course, that the serpent is in there and deceives Eve and Adam into eating of the forbidden fruit. And of course, sin entered the world. And from there, things continue to go downhill. The moral of that story is, left on our own, we will mess things up big time. Don't we do that? Don't we mess things up big time? Look at what we see every day. It's not good. School shootings and bullying and hazing in high schools and colleges. Beatings and murder and stealing and vandalism and adultery and gossip and hatred and riots, alcohol and drug problems, families at war, countries at war, the list goes on and on of how we mess things up. Romans 3, Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, every one of us. In fact, you can read that verse and put your name in there. I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're only human. And as humans, we are all sinners. That's one thing we can all agree on today. But the question we're wrestling with is, how does God see people? How does he look upon this mass of humanity which is woefully sinful? And I believe the key idea is very important. That is, all people are loved by God and need Jesus Christ as their Savior. All people are loved by God and need Jesus Christ as their Savior. So I want you to hear our text today. It's from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Familiar verse, John 3, 16, but maybe the two after that, not so familiar. Hear now the word of God. John 3, beginning with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. What do you think would happen if in this church we actually saw people the way God sees people? Do you think that would change how we function as a church, how we interact with our community? Would it change how we interact with our family members, how we interact with one another? Let's look at some ways that God treats people. First of all, I think we can all agree, God loves all people equally. He loves all people equally. That's our first point today. For God so loved the world. He desires relationship with us. He loves us all equally, and He wants us to live in the reality of that love. And of course, that love is not conditional in any way. We don't earn God's love by our performance. We don't earn God's love because of our name, our reputation. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God loves the person who has committed the worst crime just as much as He loves the person who has never missed a Sunday. God loves the dying AIDS patient just as much as the nurse who's risking her life to take care of him. God loves the car accident victim just as much as the drunk driver who ran the stop sign to hit the car. God loves the child living in poverty in the backwoods wilderness as much as the child living in a burned out shell of a building in a third world country, as much as the children of privilege wearing uniforms to go to private schools. In our Believe lesson today, you're going to learn about the story of Hosea and Gomer. And Gomer was not exactly the kind of girl you wanted to bring home to mama. She was a prostitute. But the point is that God's love reaches through our unfaithfulness. God's love transcends our greatest sins. There's a contemporary song entitled One Thing Remains, and it talks about the love of God. And the refrain says of God's love, "Your love never fails, never gives up, and never runs out on me. For God so loved the world." But there's a second point that we need to make as well. And that is that God is needed by all people. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single human soul needs God. Romans 3:23, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that you will not hear." And Isaiah 59:2 says, "Here it is, the reality of sin and our separation from God. Our love for ourselves turns us cold towards God." So we all have the same need, the need for a Savior. And the good news is He is available to all of us. You remember that passage, we read John 3:16, 17, and 18, and remember that verse, we know the familiar verse of verse 16, but verse 17 is very important too. Remember, God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world through Him. God is needed by all people. We all need God. We all need the salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter whether we are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, whether we're ornery or well-behaved, it doesn't matter. We all need God. We need to take the lens off and begin seeing people as God sees people. And trust that He'll bring them into relationship with Him. Our last point says, God offers salvation to all people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God offers salvation to all people. You know that John 3:16 verse? I learned that. It's the first verse I memorized. I memorized it as a child in vacation Bible school at Bethel Mennonite Church, right down the road here. It was the very first verse I memorized. And of course, I did it in the King James Version. So it naturally comes to me in the King James Version. But John 3:16 has been memorized by so many people because of its simplicity. Because of the human condition of being separated from God because of our sin, we need saved. And that's why Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Whoever, that's everyone, all of us. God offers salvation to everyone, to all who will receive it. And when we understand this and live by, you know what? Everything changes. It changes the way we see those other students at school. Maybe the ones who ignore us or say nasty things about us or post untrue things on Facebook or who bully those who are weaker. It changes the way we live in our families, from how you see your spouse to how you interact with your next door neighbor. The way we interact daily with people we encounter, whether it's at the grocery store, at the bank, or wherever we're at. It changes how we see people. We begin to see people with the lens that God has, and we see that they need Jesus just as much as we do. Let me say it this way. If I discovered a cure for cancer, a surefire 100% cure for cancer, do you think I would keep that to myself? Do you think I would keep it just for me, or maybe just for my family when the big C struck? If I developed a surefire cure for cancer, I would do everything I could to make it available to as many people as I could. Should we not do the same with the gospel of Jesus Christ? If we believe the gospel has changed us, why aren't we telling everyone we can about the greatest news ever? Perhaps because we're only human and we struggle to see people like God sees people. Let me give you three takeaways for the message today. First of all, that we need to value all human life. And I think we can all agree that we live in a world that continues to devalue human life. But all human life, all stages, all forms of life are sacred and should be valued. Psalm 139:13 says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Our culture has a tendency to value people by what they can contribute. We value people by what they can offer to the world to make it a better place. But we've seen too many stories of places where humanity is not valued. From the genocides that we've seen around the world for centuries in Germany and Darfur, Africa and Cambodia, Turkey and many other places. You know, friends, if we see people as God sees them, we'll place value on their lives. Even if they look different than us, even if they act different than us, even if they have values that are different than us, it won't matter. We value life before birth, throughout life, and even to those at the end of life. Life is precious in all its form. Secondly, I see and I treat all people the way God does. That's a takeaway we need to have from the message today. I want to see and treat people the way God does. And friends, that's hard. That is so hard. That's a work, that's a growing edge for all of us. It means that realizing that God doesn't love someone else any more or any less than He does me. If we really believed this, it would make everything we see differently. It's tough, but believing this, seeing people as God sees them, treating them as Jesus would treat them, would mean an end to a long list of destructive attitudes that we see every day. Prejudice and hatred. Grumpiness, meanness, bullying, abuse, etc. So take this challenge this week. Watch the evening news. Follow the stories that are told and try to see the individuals as God sees them. We have to move beyond the excuse of, well, we're only human, and start looking through God's lens at all people, including those who are making the headlines for very, very bad reasons. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love." How does God see and treat all people? As dearly loved children. And lastly, I'm compelled to tell people about Jesus. That's this amazing opportunity God has made available to everyone. That if we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we are walking in fellowship with God, if we have a life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the greatest news of all is that God loves us and has sent His Son for us. That should be in our conversation with others. That should be in our interactions with other people. We have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. And so that's why we are in this Believe series. That's why we dig deeper into God's Word. That's why our Roots ministry is so important. That's why our children and adult ministries are so vital, is that we can build that foundation. that compels us to tell others about Jesus. Our mission statement as a church is spot on. It says, we believe the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren exists to be a united people fully following Jesus' teaching through knowing, living, and sharing Christ's love. What is the greatest way we can share Christ's love with someone else? Tell them about Jesus. It's that simple. Tell them about Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So let me ask you, do you believe God loves all people equally? Do you see all people as God sees them? Do you believe that God offers salvation to all people? If so, then we are compelled to show respect to everyone and love them enough to tell them about Jesus. What we believe matters, friends, and what we believe about humanity is so important. But we can rejoice that God loves all people. But will I? Will I love all people? We believe that all people need the Lord, but am I willing to help someone find and follow Jesus? We believe we can live in victory today because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But am I living in victory today? Can we move beyond excuses today to believe, truly believe that Christ died for me? He rose again in victory over death and lives forevermore as my Savior and Lord. Can we honestly say today, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. This message may be today where you need to do some spiritual heavy lifting, where you say, you know, God, I want to believe this. I want us to believe this even more. And I want it to make a difference daily in how I live. And we have to get beyond the head knowledge of Jesus Christ and get it into the heart. The 12 inches between here and here is often the most difficult challenge of getting what we believe in our mind to take residence in our heart. So God, help me believe in my heart what I believe in my head. Friends, let me challenge you to believe that all people are loved by God and need Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Let's begin with each of us today that what we believe matters. It matters to the praise of His glory. After the service today, as you make your way into the gathering area, you'll see the posters out there again. There are posters out there for today. And if you can believe the truth that is on that poster, sign that poster. Sign that poster. Because we believe that God loves all humanity and has given His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for every human soul. May that impact how we live our lives this week as we serve Jesus Christ to the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful today that You're a God who loves all people, every human soul. And we confess, Lord, that we struggle to see people the way You see them. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us for not loving people like You've called us to. Forgive us for not seeing people like You see them. Forgive us for not being imitators of God. Not living as dearly loved children. Father, may today be a milestone day for us where we take off our human lens and begin to see people as You see them, as the beloved, as the prodigal son that has come home, as the one who You gave Your very best, Your one and only Son, Jesus, for. So, Father, as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord, might we be reminded of Your great love once again as we receive the elements of the Lord's table, the bread and the cup. Physical elements that remind us of the sacrifice Christ made so that we can have life, abundant life, and eternal life to come. Prepare us, Lord, now to come to the table of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table today, we want to reflect on the reasons for thanksgiving and faith and penitence and love. So I'm going to offer you a time of silence. We remember the Christ who called us to break bread with one another, that we're to thoroughly examine the state of our faithfulness and our unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's spend a few moments in silent preparation, making sure that we are indeed in a right relationship with our Lord and with our brothers and sisters, and then we'll have a unison prayer of consecration as we transition into the table of the Lord.